5 minutes past the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome into the whole show here on Northern Colorado's Voice, live from the Owl Communications Studios. My name is Angel Padilla, filling in for Brady this week. He is taking the week off, so we were going to have just regularly scheduled programming, but I decided to jump on today for about an hour or so because we have some news to break down in Broncos country. Nathaniel Hackett, first-year head coach for the Broncos, was fired yesterday, just around about 24 hours ago, after the Broncos suffered a just flat-out embarrassing loss against the Rams on Christmas Day, 51-14, the final there. Another just bad offensive game from this team. But really, it was just a team loss. The defense looked bad. Baker Mayfield looked, you know, incredible for the Rams in that game. Russell Wilson and the offense continue to struggle. And it was the straw that ultimately broke the camel's back. And the Broncos have let go of Nathaniel Hackett after just, you know, not even a full season. And there was thoughts around Broncos country that he would maybe make it to the end of the season and be reevaluated at that point. If you could have a strong enough performance against the Chiefs and the Chargers to close it out. But he's not going to get that opportunity. And, you know, there was some momentum building for Hackett's chances to stay in the last couple of weeks. You had the, you know, the second half against the Chiefs where he kind of made that a close game. The offense was starting to click, obviously, and then Russ's concussion took him out of that game, and then the next game against the Cardinals. But then they go out and win against the Cardinals, and they look, you know, kind of decent with Brett Rippon, and maybe the thoughts were, okay, let's see if Hackett can finish this out, but just completely unprepared for Sunday's Christmas Day game. And so the Walton Penner Group came out with a statement yesterday. I found it interesting that this came from the ownership themselves and not GM George Payton. I'll read just a little bit of this. On behalf of our ownership and organization, I want to thank Nathaniel Hackett for his dedication as head coach of the Denver Broncos. We sincerely appreciate Nathaniel's efforts and wish him and his family all the best in the future. We recognize and appreciate this organization's championship history, and we understand that we have not met that standard. Our fans deserve much better, and I can't say enough about their loyalty during such a challenging stretch for our team. Moving forward, we will carefully evaluate every aspect of our football operations and make whatever changes are necessary to restore this franchise's winning tradition. I will lead our head coaching search with support from our ownership group and George, whom I have confidence in as our general manager. As we begin the process of selecting our next head coach, we remain focused on playing competitive football to finish the season on a positive note. And for Broncos country, I don't know how you can wrap this season up in any sort of positive way. There was so much optimism and so much excitement about this team earlier in the offseason. Of course, you know, you get rid of Vic Fangio, and you think that's a big move for you guys to move forward in the right direction, get the defensive coach out of there, and get an offensive coach in there. And Nathaniel Hackett was the guy. He was the OC at Green Bay, worked with Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur to, you know, keep that offense going. And, you know, everyone thought, okay, this is going to be the guy. He's a young and up-and-coming offensive-minded head coach. This will be the solution. And then the trade comes down in early March. You get Russell Wilson from Seattle. You get the, you know, your potential Hall of Fame quarterback to come to Denver, a team that a lot of people thought was just a quarterback away. Maybe you need some extra pieces on the offense, but you had the defense and you had the quarterback at that point. Obviously, the Russ situation is a whole other topic that we'll get into in the next segment, but we're going to focus on Nathaniel Hackett here and just the issues from this head coach started not even before the season began. It started in the preseason. Flashback to training camp in the preseason for the Broncos where they weren't having as many tough, hard practices during training camp as they're starting to get ramped up. And then the not playing your starters in the preseason, not playing Russell in the preseason to kind of just get this offense and get this team's identity figured out early. And that wasn't the case. So you think, okay, that's just the head coach's decision. Maybe he knows something that we don't about training camps or whatever. But then the Seattle game happens, and they come out, decent offensive performance. Of course, you had the goal line fumbles from the running backs there, and then the infamous, you know, 46 left hash. We're just going to get to that spot. That's our spot. We're going to kick it from. You line it up, you kick it, and you miss, and you drop 0-1 to start the season. And already just some from the jump, there was head-scratching decisions from Nathaniel Hackett, from this entire coaching staff, and it only continued to just, you know, keep going throughout the season. We saw the play clock situation, not getting plays in on time. The fans are counting down the play clock. Fans are booing you as you're in the stadium. You have an overtime game on Thursday Night Football, and your fans are leaving the stadium. And as the Penner Group said in that statement, that they understand the winning culture and the winning tradition that this franchise has, and it's just not up to it right now. Nathaniel Hackett was not the coach to get this going. You start off 2-1. Remember that weird 49ers game on Sunday night? You go to Las Vegas, lose that one on the Melvin Gordon fumble. The second half offense didn't show up for that one. The Indianapolis Colts game, the Chargers game with the muff punt. Then you had the Jets game. Obviously, Russ was out for that one. And then you go to London and you get a win. And you think back to that, going into that London game, everybody thought, okay, this is the game that will decide Nathaniel Hackett's fate in Denver. If they win, he gets another shot. If they lose, they could very well fire him that weekend. Well, the Broncos went out and won. They beat the Jags 21-17 in that London game, and you started to see some optimism creep back in. Okay, maybe this offense just needed a couple weeks to figure it out. There was the whole wristband thing with Russ. Was that the solution? Apparently not, because he wears the wristband ever since then, and they still haven't won. They've won one game since that. Then you had the Titans game on the road. That was bad. Home against the Raiders just got completely, you know, dominated in that game. Obviously, it was close for most parts of it, but then you had Devontae Adams break loose at the end there to walk off that one. Then the Panthers game, that was just an ugly performance on the road in a game that you probably could have won at that point. Then you got the Ravens without Lamar Jackson. You still don't manage to win that one. 10-9 the final there. Then the Chiefs game. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs come out quick. They're lighting it up as they do. And then the offense gets going a little bit more to close out that second half. Jerry Jeudy with the 3 touchdowns. Russell's feeling more comfortable. He's running for first downs, putting his heart out on the line as we've seen him do in years past. And then he gets the concussion, and the Broncos end up losing that one. You get the Cardinals game against a bad Cardinals team with Colt McCoy at quarterback, he didn't finish that game, had Trace McSorley come in. But a game you should have won, and they did win. And you kind of thought, okay, let's finish out this season with Hackett and let's see what he can do. Can he get this right? Can we get some momentum going into the offseason where we can reevaluate our team, figure out what we need to do to get fixed? Obviously the offensive line has tons of issues. The receivers, maybe you go get another guy that's going to, up that talent. I know you're going to get some guys back from injury, but do you still want that big playmaker type receiver? Or can Jerry Jeudy finally step into that role? He's kind of been on a hot streak the last couple of games. But all of that positivity, all of that encouragement and optimism from the Cardinals game was completely erased on Sunday afternoon against the Rams. Again, 51-14 in that game. Russell Wilson, 15 for 27, 214 yards, a touchdown, and 3 interceptions. Just a brutal performance in a game where you thought maybe there'd be some momentum for the Broncos. Russell coming back from the concussion. You're coming off of a big win at home. Can you go into LA and get a win over a bad Rams team with Baker Mayfield as the quarterback, who's been there for less than 2 weeks now? So that was that. And that was the final straw for the ownership group. I'm curious to know how much opinion or thought from George Payton came into this, or was this just the ownership stepping over Payton saying, no, we're the ones in charge here. This is not how we're going to be running this organization now that we're in charge of it. You're gone, Nathaniel, you're gone. And I'm sure there's still going to be heat on George Payton, because there's another situation to this problem that happened this year. It's Russell Wilson. He is not the quarterback that you thought you were getting back in March. He's not on the brink of the Hall of Fame, Super Bowl winning, MVP caliber quarterback that you wanted. And so now the questions start to shift more to Russell. Whether you think it's his fault or not that the offense has struggled all year, it was one of two things. It was either Russell or Hackett. Hackett's gone, and now the blame can be put back on Russell and maybe a little bit of George Payton, because if Russell doesn't work out, you've already got one strike for their head coach that you missed on. I would say strikes two and three would be the trade for Russell Wilson and then signing him to the contract extension. Mortgaging your entire future with draft picks and money to lock him in for the next couple of years. And now you're starting to wonder, oh my gosh, how did we screw it up this bad? You know, you could have waited a year to give Russell his extension, but you wanted to get out in front of it before the market got reset. No, I don't think a quarterback of Russell's age and at this point in his career would reset the quarterback market, but he may be asking for a lot more money. And now do you have a conversation with Russ about, can you take a pay cut? Do you try to restructure this contract if you don't see a massive turnaround from Russell Wilson? You know, we see quarterbacks get up to this point in their career where, you know, they you see a decline a little bit. You saw it earlier this year with Aaron Rodgers, with Tom Brady. They've had a decline. They're up and they're starting to get back now, and that speaks to their, you know, athletic ability and their mentality as quarterbacks in this league to pick themselves up after, you know, a tough start or a tough couple of losses. With Russell, we haven't seen that. He's kept that, you know, positive, nice guy mentality, everything's going to be fine, all the, you know, the cliches that he throws out there, but you haven't seen the results on the field. And you hear from Russell saying that he knows he has to play at a higher level. He knows he's capable of playing at a higher level. And he takes these opportunities of adversity and, you know, tries to rise against it and rise above it, given that opportunity. And he's had plenty of opportunities all season long. If you were keeping up with it, he has officially tied his bathroom total at his house with his touchdown totals. So that just speaks to how this season has gone for the Denver Broncos. But Hulligans, I want to know what your thoughts are on this. What did you think of Hackett? Were you already done with him before this game? Did the Christmas Day game against the Rams change your mind about this? What are your thoughts on Russell Wilson? Do you think he could turn it around next year with a new coach, with an offensive-minded coach, a veteran head coach in the NFL? Throw out some names. You're hearing the Sean Paytons. You're hearing the Dan Quinns. What are some other names out there in the coaching search that the Broncos should be looking at? And you're going to have – it's going to be a tough interview process, because not only do you have to get a coach that wants to come to Denver knowing the situation that it's in, knowing that it's not just the quarterback that has issues, there are plenty of other issues around this team on the offense, a little bit on the defense since they kind of fell apart against the Rams. And then what's the front office look like with a whole new ownership group in there? They may be looking to make some changes. Well, George is, you know, Payton's, I think, squarely on the hot seat right now because of the he missed on your first head coach. You missed on the quarterback. You missed on the quarterback's extension. And it seems like from what the ownerships are saying that Payton's not going to have as much of an influence on this coaching search. So what is he doing? Is he, you know, just a lame duck GM that's just going to manage the football operations and the ownership group is going to handle the hiring process for the next coach? I want your thoughts. Get at us on the text line 888-530-0043. We're talking Nathaniel Hackett being let go from the Broncos. Who do you want as the head coach? And can Russell Wilson be fixed? We're going to be covering that here in the next segment. After the halfway point segments 3 and 4, we're going to hit on the Nuggets. Because as bad as the Broncos were on Christmas Day, the Nuggets wrapped it up with a big win over the Phoenix Suns. We'll talk about that. Nikola Jokic, fifth straight triple-double. Aaron Gordon, his monster performance that he had. Jamal Murray had a good performance. The crowd was great in Ball Arena. We're going to get into all that and where the Nuggets sit, finishing up the December slate of games, heading into the new year, the All-Star break, all of that. You're going to hear it here on the whole show. Filling in for Brady today, my name is Angel Padilla, and we'll be right back to talk more Broncos and Nuggets here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 1310 KFKA.
Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and their coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Minutes past the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome back into The Whole Show, live from the Isle of Communications Studios. I'm Angel Padilla, filling in just for an hour today, for about 35 more minutes. Brady Hull out for the week, but I wanted to jump on because we have news to talk about, of course. The Denver Broncos have fired head coach Nathaniel Hackett after a just an abysmal, embarrassing loss to the Rams on Christmas Day. And, you know, there may be some relief out there in Broncos country right now. You know, you got your head coach out, you figured out the problem, you got it out, you identified it, got rid of it, and now you need to still, there are still things to evaluate about this team. And the next biggest question about this team is, can Russell Wilson be fixed? I'm not talking like a dog, you're not trying to neuter him or anything. Can he fix him? Can you fix him and turn him back into the quarterback that you thought you were getting way back in March? Just looking at Russell's stats so far this year, he's played in 13 games, 253 for 421, completion percentage of just at 60%, 3,019 yards, averaging 7.2 yards per completion, 12 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Just not a great ratio. He's also been sacked 49 times this season. And, you know, you can point a lot of the offensive struggles to Nathaniel Hackett, to his, maybe his system just wasn't, you know, fit for Russell. Or was it Russell not being able to figure out the system? You know, the injuries is always going to come up. It's always going to be part of the context of this situation. You know, your offensive line issues, injuries there. You lose Javonte Williams at running back. Melvin Gordon has the fumble issues all year long until you, you know, up and cut him a couple weeks ago. The receivers, you know, not healthy. Jerry Jeudy was struggling with drops and, you know, all kinds of issues earlier in the season. He seemed to turn the corner, it looks like, you know, to become that, you know, that first round pick that you thought he was a couple years ago. And then, you know, the tight end situation, you trade Noah Fant, Andrew Locke over to Seattle to get Russ. And you never really saw one tight end kind of show up. You saw Dulcich from time to time, Beck from occasion. You know, occasionally he would show up, but this offense just lacked an identity. It lacked it didn't put fear into opposing defenses. You weren't scared about getting deep down the field by Jeudy or one of the receivers. The running game, while at times was effective, not effective enough for a defense to really, you know, start stacking the box a little bit to stop up that running game. And then Russell, you know, outside of the passing, his rushing ability was gone. His ability, you know, we all loved watching him scramble around and make the big time throws up there in Seattle. And you just didn't see that enough this year. And so the questions are going to be coming up within this coaching search is, you know, what do you see with Russell at this point in his career? And do you, as a potential head coach for this team, can you fix him? Can you put together a staff with an offensive coordinator and a quarterback's coach that can go in and see what Russ's issues are? Or was it simply just Hackett's offensive system wasn't the right fit for him? If it's as simple as that, then there you go. You should see a brand new Russ the next couple of weeks against KC and the Chargers. So with Nathaniel Hackett's firing, Jerry Rosberg will be the interim head coach for the Broncos in their last two games. Very interesting move there. You did see the report that Evereaux, the DC, was offered the interim coaching position, and he turned it down. What does that say about his perspective on the Broncos as an organization, as a team? Or was it just, hey, I may be a little too close to Hackett. I don't want to be caught in the crosshairs when this, you know, ultimately gets blown up in the offseason? So Jerry Rosberg will be filling in as the interim head coach for the next 2 weeks as the Broncos just, you know, try to get some semblance of optimism from this team. The Chiefs game at KC on Sunday, New Year's Day, that's just, it's hard to imagine any competent team showing up for that one. The Chargers the next week to close out at home. gosh, that's going to be weird to see what Empower Field looks like in that last game. The Chargers, of course, they clinched a playoff spot last night after their win over the Colts. So maybe they're possibly resting their starters in that game. The Chiefs, it's potentially they could rest their starters. It might not be likely given this, you know, still two more games to play. They're still fighting for trying to get that one seed to get that first round bye. I believe they're still in contention there with the Bills. So just looking at this team, kind of just summarizing this entire just debacle, embarrassment of a season for the Broncos, moving forward, what do you want to see in the next head coach? Do you want an offensive head coach? Do you want a defensive head coach? Obviously, you're going to want somebody with experience because you cannot do the first-time head coach again. I know, you know, the Kellen Moores and the other, you know, offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators that are out there sound enticing, sound, you know, ooh, that could really work. We could find the next, you know, he's that next guy. But you can't really put yourself in that situation again with an aging quarterback in, you know, the last couple of bits of his career, a, you know, semi-young offense that's going to be, you know, rebuilding the offensive line pretty much. What's the running back situation going to look like? How is Javonte going to recover from his ACL injury? Do you go try to stabilize that running back room with some more, you know, depth guys, some veteran guys there? Can you keep this defense together? Can you keep, you know, is Evero going to get a second shot at DC, or is he going to go get an interview for somewhere else? Could he possibly be setting himself up for a head coaching position elsewhere? A lot of questions for this Broncos team, but the biggest one right now would be, can Russell Wilson be fixed? Can he get back to what he was supposed to be when he got here from Seattle? 11:32 the time. We're going to jump out of here, get the local sports flash. When we come back, we're going to break down the Nuggets. They had a huge win over the Phoenix Suns on Christmas Day. Christmas night, really. It was an 8:30 tip-off. So if you stayed up to watch that game, great. I hope you enjoyed watching it. If you didn't, we're going to break down and just see what happened with this Nuggets team as they win their fifth straight in a row. They'll be back in action tonight against the Sacramento Kings. So get at us on the text line, 888-530-0043. Broncos coaching search, who do you want? Can Russell be fixed? And what are your thoughts on the Denver Nuggets? We'll break into that a little bit more on the other side. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Here's your chance, do your dance at the Space Jam. All right.
They've got some things to work on, but right now, my Wildcat Aaron Gordon with
Murray. Gordon! Back door and then backwards on the jam.
Getting into the paint is a positive thing. And you see Aaron Gordon continuing to have a solid first half. Get our group back, but out of bounds. Come on!
Aaron Gordon from Caldwell Pope.
Normally this is when you would stagger your stars, keep one of them in the game.
Gordon! Throwing it down! Push the other way. The lob, Gordon! With the thunderous jam! Stood since 1979. The block inside for Gordon. Aaron trying to keep it in play. Jokic has it. Back to Gordon! Shamit had a clean look. Here comes Aaron Gordon the other way.
How about that game from the Denver Nuggets and Aaron Gordon on Christmas night? 128-125 overtime victory over the Phoenix Suns. Welcome back into the whole show. I'm Angel Padilla filling in for Brady today just for an hour. Had some, you know, pretty pressing news that we had to get to, and I wanted to make sure we covered it here, obviously with the Nathaniel Hackett firing. But as bad as that was on Sunday for the Broncos, it was more than made up for with the Denver Nuggets performance on Christmas night. NBA on Christmas is such a huge event. It was so cool to have NFL football on in the morning, and then you switch over to the NBA in the afternoon and just get a full day of sports on Christmas Day. But the Nuggets get it done. Their fourth straight win. They are 7-1 in their last 8 games. This team is starting to find their rhythm, and I couldn't be more excited to watch this team. Nikola Jokic, what else is there to say about this guy? He has clearly put himself in the lead of the MVP race at this point, going for a potential three-peat, which would be just absolutely historic, you know, joining guys like Wilt Chamberlain and Larry Bird in that category of three-time MVP winners. But Jokic, here's the stat line. Look at this. 16 of 25 from the field, 2 of 4 from three-point range, 7 of 9 from the stripe, 15 rebounds, 15 assists, and a whopping 41 points for the Joker. And just, it's unbelievable. 5 straight triple-doubles for this guy. He is just on a roll right now, finding himself, you know, getting down low in the paint, hitting those, you know, step-back, sambor shuffle jumpers. He's just so much fun to watch. The passing ability is insane. Not just the best big man in the league. He is, I think, putting himself right back in that conversation of best player in the league right now. You have guys like Luka, guys like Jason Tatum, Giannis, of course. Those are all great players, but they're not doing what Jokic is doing right now. He has carried this team for the last 2 years, and we all thought with Murray and MPJ coming back that Jokic was going to take it, you know, take it easy a little bit. Maybe 25 points here and there, maybe a double-double, maybe a triple-double every now and again. But he is locked in. He is in MVP form yet again at this point in the season. I love, you know, he shows up to work dressed up in his nice suits. You know, he's going to work. This is his job, and he understands that. And he puts out another MVP performance. But the star of the night, I know we all love Jokic, the star of the night for the Nuggets was Aaron Gordon. A monster night for him, 11 of 18 from the field, 5 of 9 from the charity stripe, 13 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, a block, and 28 points, and possibly the dunk of the year in overtime with just a few, you know, I think 20 or 30 seconds left. The Suns miss a shot, Gordon gets the wild rebound, takes it all the way coast to coast, and just flies through the air and slams it down in just one of the most emphatic, powerful dunks I've ever seen live watching a game like that. It went under review for it was called a charge on the court. They went and reviewed it and saw that the Suns defender was, you know, pretty much set outside of the restricted zone. But at the very last second, as Gordon makes his leap into the air, the defender moved just a little bit and bumped Gordon on his way up, but that did not stop him from just throwing that ball home. Ball Arena was absolutely insane. Just watching it on TV, you could feel the energy in the environment. It felt like a real, you know, playoff type of environment at Ball Arena. Completely sold out Christmas night. Just having that energy, and you see how good this team is at home. You know, it's not just the home field, the home court advantage with the altitude. It's that fan base that gets them going when Gordon's hitting those big dunks, when Murray or MPJ hit their little step back three, when Bones hits from the Highlands and he just goes, you know, that whole crowd feeds that team. And, you know, just a great performance. And guys like Murray, he also had a pretty good game, kind of quiet there early on, but he finished out with 26 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. 7 of 19 from the field, 7 of 8 from the free throw line. Just another solid performance from Murray. KCP with 15 points. MPJ had 7 points. He was 0 of 5 from the 3-point line. That is concerning. I'm not overly freaking out about MPJ. It's only his second game back from the heel injury. You know, throwing him back into the starting lineup when they're starting to find their rhythm can cause a couple, you know, hiccups along the way as this team tries to figure out what they're going to be, what the identity is going to be of this team moving forward. But your starting lineup, they're set. Those 5 guys on the floor are going to win you a lot of games when they're all out there together. The concern for this team is really, it's the bench. Who's going to be coming off the bench? We saw it came out on Saturday that Jeff Green fractured his hand in that game against Portland on Friday night, so he's going to be missing some time. Who's going to step up in that role? We saw 9 minutes from Zeke Nnaji the other night. He didn't have barely any stats. He was minus 9 on the plus-minus there. Bruce Brown, 27 minutes, only 5 points there. He was minus 16. Bones Highland, 14 minutes, 3 points, minus 13. And then Christian Brown, the rookie, 13 minutes, 3 points, minus 6. So this bench is certainly concerning for the Nuggets. You know, when Jokic is taking a breath, a breather on the bench, you can see this offensive identity kind of struggle a little bit. They don't really know what they're going to do, and I think that's going to be the challenge for Malone going into these next couple of games, is figuring out this rotation now that you don't have Jeff Green, now that, you know, DeAndre Jordan he did not play on a coach's decision. What does this bench unit look like? Because when you get to the playoffs, when you get to that stretch of games in April and May, you're going to rely a lot on your starters, of course, but you're also going to need one or two guys that can come off the bench and get you some clutch points, that can play clutch defense against these, you know, better teams in the West. It's hard to say if there are any better teams in the West, because the Nuggets, with that win, now have sole possession of the number one seed in the West. Granted, it is only December 27th. We have a long way to go. But to see this team where they're at this point in the season is incredibly encouraging, because, you know, we saw in November they had a huge a gauntlet of road games that they had to go through, and they came through that above 500. They're getting their stretch of home games now, and they're really starting to click on offense. And another thing about Michael Porter Jr. and what he didn't do offensively throughout this game, go back and just look at the fourth quarter. Chris Paul and that Phoenix Suns offense were going at MPJ, and time and time again, he was getting stops, he was getting the rebounds he needed to, you know, filling the space with his length to, you know, create defensive issues for the Suns, and so that was encouraging. You like to see MPJ kind of playing that physical style of defense, you know, getting attacked by a team. He was the focal point of their attack in that second half, or in that fourth quarter. And he really showed up. You get this game. Nuggets were down by 8 with about 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. They bring it all the way back to tie it, go into overtime, and then outscore the Suns 15-12. Just a huge, monumental win for the Nuggets. 12-3 in Ball Arena. That is an incredible record, and that's going to serve them well as we continue out through the season, getting into the playoffs and getting that playoff push. If this is a team that's the one seed in the playoffs with home court advantage throughout the entire series, look out. I know it's so early, but you're getting that feeling that this is the team, that if the Nuggets are going to win a title, it's going to be this year. If not the next couple of years, you know, you kind of get that 3-4 year window. The Nuggets have been in that window the last couple of years, getting into the playoffs, consistently getting to the playoffs, getting through or not through the first round. They have experience, and that's something that's going to come into play later when you get into the playoffs with teams like New Orleans, Memphis, Sacramento, who's right now just inside the play-in tournament. Those are teams that don't have a lot of playoff experience. This Nuggets team does. They, you know, go back to the bubble, the Portland series the year before, and the Spurs series the same year. Obviously, the Suns series a couple years ago, and then the Warriors last year, kind of getting bounced in, you know, in, you know, 4-0 and then 4-1 in those series, because you didn't have the supporting cast around Joker, and now you do. Jokic is clearly the number one guy on this team. This is his franchise. He's going to take them all the way if he can. But having a supporting cast like Aaron Gordon, who has been the most consistent player on this team, game in, game out, he is putting it on the line, playing within himself, not trying to do too much, you know, taking those rare occasional threes whenever he gets a good open look. But otherwise, he's sitting right on the baseline, moving around, waiting for an opportunity, hitting those cuts and those backdoor movements at the right time, and just slamming it down like he is a monster in Space Jam. Love to see it from the Nuggets. Let's get here to the text line. It is a Top Text Tuesday, Eastside Chris. Thank you for reminding me. I don't have the gift cards to give away, but I will be sure to message Brady. Whoever does get to win Top Text Tuesday, of course, if you do win, you get a gift card to Cables Pub and Grill, a great place to go hang out. Really good food there, good drink, good times there. Eastside Chris here. Angel, the Broncos play at Empower Field. That's what they need to do with Team 3. No office. Keep his posse out of the building. What Russ does for rehab and personal conditioning should be done at his house. He had to stay awake and do knee bends on the plane. Very smart. No one drew a mustache on him. Yes. Yeah, no Andy Reid on the plane to draw mustaches on the sleeping players. But that just goes, just all of those things you just listed, as much as it probably feels good that Hackett is gone, you still have an elephant in the room with Russell Wilson and his antics, his personality. Is, you know, we didn't even mention the offensive line scuffle dust up with Brett Rypien on Sunday. You know, allegedly Brett Rypien came over yelling at the offensive line that you need to pick Russ off the turf. He's, you know, you're going to let up all these sacks on him. You might as well help him up off the ground. You see Dalton Reisner kind of shove Rypien, and then Russ goes over there and starts talking to the football close to his mouth because I guess he doesn't want us to know what he's saying to his offensive line. Who knows? But that's going to be a question in the offseason is, can Russ, you know, kind of tamper his personality a bit with the whole threes and the let's ride and, you know, the high knees and the Wolverine blood? Pick any kind of cliche that Russ has said this year. That needs to go away. You cannot have that next year because this team will not respond. This fan base will not respond to another year of cliche quarterback talk and not seeing the performances out on the field. 11:51 the time. We're going to get out of break here, and then we'll come back and wrap up this show. Quick little hour edition of the whole show. Brady gone for the week. Decided to jump in here to talk to you guys about Nathaniel Hackett being fired. What's the future look like for the Denver Broncos? Can Russell be fixed? And of course, as bad it is, if you're just done on the football season, do not fret because you have two other professional teams in this state that are competing at a high level, and you should be embracing that. Follow these teams. I'm talking about the Nuggets on a 4-game win streak. Talking about the Avalanche on a 5-game win streak. The defending Stanley Cup title, you know, the 2-time MVP. There's so much to be positive about in the sports here in Colorado, not to mention the local college basketball that we have here with CU, CSU, and UNC. They're going to be getting back into action slowly this week. They're on kind of a, you know, winter break a little bit as we head into the new year, but those teams will be getting back into action. You are listening to the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Krista McKeo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Just about a minute here on the whole show, filling in for Brady today. Angel Padilla here, live from the Allo Communications Studios. Just wanted to hop on, break down the Nathaniel Hackett firing for the Broncos, of course. The Nuggets' big win on Christmas. Just, you know, positive and negatives for the state of Colorado in terms of professional sports. The Avs and Nuggets, they're the optimism for you guys out there. Just if you're feeling down, if you're just done with football season, basketball and hockey are the way to go. I just want to appreciate Brady for giving me another chance to jump on here. Get some practice here on live radio. We will be gone for the rest of the week, like we said, but we have Thursday night football this week. Bowl games are still going on. The college football playoff this weekend. Tons of sports still out there to be watched. So go out and enjoy it. Enjoy the last couple of days in 2022, and we will see you guys next year.